You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am excited for us to continue on with our Bible on Business series. If you are new here, the Lord gave me an instruction last year to start this series up on the podcast called Bible on Business. What he was showing me was that so many people, as it relates to entrepreneurship, we shortchange what the Bible has to offer, where we use it for scriptures and study on how the Lord wants to bless us or prosper us. But there's so much practical wisdom and knowledge for how we operate and lead our businesses right here in the text. And this year, we have been focusing heavily on leadership, leaning into the book of Acts. I guess that's the unofficial theme so far of the show, leadership. We have our book club pick all about Christian leadership, and then we're leaning into what the Bible says about leadership. So I'm excited for us to continue on in this series. Quick church announcement before we get started. Applications are still open for my Purpose to Podcast program. We started this week, and I am just so excited for what's going to happen in the lives and the platforms of the women that the Lord has entrusted me with. But applications are still open. And if you are looking for a mentor, someone with a history of being exactly where you are, a track record of having a successful show, as well as producing other successful shows, but doing so in a way in which we don't compromise our faith, then I would invite you to come and learn more about the Purpose to Podcast program. You could click the link in the show notes for the application. Right on the application, if you want to learn more, I have an overview video that breaks down the program, and then you can continue through to register from there. I'm going to keep the applications open to the end of the month, since this will be the only cohort of 2025. All right, let's hop right into today's episode. We haven't been doing the Bible on Business series consecutively. We had a couple of breaks because I gave a few messages in between, but I want to recap briefly where we are. Today's episode is going to be discussing what strategic timing looks like, because we are still in the earlier parts of the book of Acts. When we started this series, we started it off with discussing the waiting season, because when we first enter into the book of Acts, that's where the disciples were. Then we move into discussing the dangers of premature leadership, because a lot of times we all have that tendency of, okay, God is taking too long, I got to make something shake. A lot of times we don't know how to just sit down and mind our business and play the role that we're supposed to play and let God be God. And so I wanted to discuss the dangers of premature leadership so that we don't find ourselves in that space where we're moving ahead of God and facing the very real spiritual and natural consequences of it. So as we continue through the book of Acts, as I was reading Acts chapter 2 recently, something stood out to me, and I believe that this is a great continuation on this conversation of timing. Now, Acts 2 is a pivotal part of the whole New Testament. It starts off with Pentecost, when the promise of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled. This marked the expansion and the foundation of the Christian faith, because once the disciples or the apostles were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were able to then go out and spread the good news. And right here in chapter 2, we see where Peter gave his first sermon, and immediately 3,000 people were added to the faith. But as I was reading it, what really stood out to me was the divine timing of it all. And I want us to explore this because it shows how the Lord is a master strategist. He is very detailed, and he leaves no stone unturned. Let's start by discussing the timing of Pentecost, because I feel like these details are missed. And this is why having a good study Bible is important, because I think I would have missed this had I not had a study Bible that gave me so much context about what I was reading. But nevertheless, let's talk about why Pentecost, why this exact timing was so strategic and so important. So Pentecost is a major Jewish festival, also known as the Feast of Weeks. If we go to Leviticus 23, 15 and 16, it says, "You shall count 7 full weeks from the day after Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of the new grain to the Lord." Pentecost is Greek for 50th, and it was celebrated 50 days after Passover. It was one of the three pilgrimage feasts where the Jews from all over the world traveled to Jerusalem. In Deuteronomy 16 and 16, it says, "Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Booths. They shall not appear before the Lord empty handed." So this confirms again that Pentecost was a time when the Jewish people from every single nation came to Jerusalem. Y'all following me here? The Lord set the inpouring or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come at a time where crowds were already going to be gathered. I want to get so far ahead of myself, but let me just stay right here. Let's go to Acts 2, verses 1 through 5. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." Key phrase, devout men from every nation under heaven. So again, this further shows that this time period when the Lord chose for the Holy Spirit to come was very, very intentional. He waited until the city was filled with people from all over the world for him to manifest in this way. Let's go to chapter 6 through 8. It says, "And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" When we think about people speaking in tongues today, we don't know what people are saying. But when this first happened on the day of Pentecost, when these tongues of fire took place, and the Lord had filled this city with people from all over the world, the tongues of fire were these foreigners who were not familiar with the languages of each of these individual areas represented. They were speaking in tongues in their languages, to where these people were like, how do I hear my native tongue? Aren't you a Galilean? He was able to manifest himself in such a way to where each individual in their individual cultures and languages were ministered to with no translators, no scribes, no middleman, just the Holy Spirit coming upon these people in these tongues of fire. The Lord supernaturally removed these language barriers, which allowed for the immediate gospel to be shared in different cultures at the same time. Like, let me calm down because I'm getting excited. If we look at verse 9 through 11, I'm not going to read it because I cannot pronounce these places and I don't want to butcher it. But there are over a dozen regions where people had came from. They experienced this and then they went back to their regions to tell people about the mighty works of the Lord. Then we have Peter step up. Verses 14 and 15, it says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day.'" Peter said, listen, it's too early for all that. And then in verses 16 through 21, he says, "But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So Peter stepped right up to the plate. The same Peter that denied Jesus, and we're going to talk about his transformation and the timing of it in a little bit. But he refused the doubts that they had, because they was like, well, maybe these people is drunk. He like, no, everybody's sober here. But this is the divine timing of the Holy Spirit, and it proves it because he connects what was happening in that moment to the Old Testament prophecy. All of these people were well versed in the Torah, so they knew what the prophet Joel said. And so Peter, in this whole moment, let them know that, hey, this is proving what had previously been spoken. And this was always a part of God's plan. And in going to verse 37 to 38, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. These people from all of these nations came for Pentecost, and they returned back to their nations as new believers. And of course, they shared that with their nations. And then that is just like this chain reaction that contributed to this worldwide movement. Now, the reason why this made me so excited, and I wanted to talk about it here on the podcast, because so many of us find ourselves in various seasons of that in between, where the Lord gives us an instruction and we're waiting to see the manifestation of whatever it is he's told us to do. We're in this waiting season. We're in this space that seems confusing, that seems isolating, where we don't know what the result is going to be. But right here in this text, we see at work the divine approach of the Lord. The apostles didn't go out and gather people. They didn't have to do anything. Their instruction was to wait. They waited well. They were productive. They made sure they replaced Judas and did other administrative things. They prayed. They were productive within the boundary that they could be while they were waiting. And then on the back end, the Lord worked out all the details. He's like, okay, I know that Pentecost is coming up. This is a time where people from all of these different nations are going to come for this festival. So I'm going to wait until the people are already gathered before I send the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to choose to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest in such a way to where these people have tongues of fire that is able to speak in languages that are foreign to them, but the exact languages of those that I've cultivated in this space, to where my presence is so undeniable. They're going to go back and tell their people. They're going to convert right there on the spot. This community is going to get formed, and this global Christian movement is going to be set forth. Only the Lord can think of these type of details. He organized the who, the what, the when, the why, and the how. So why are we tripping? Because we're just impatient. Why do we act like such toddlers when the Lord is telling us to wait? As if he has not already orchestrated the details. And through his divine orchestration and his empowerment, we are going to see results that never could have happened in our own strength. This is why we have to get in our Bibles. Supplements are cool, but we cannot live off supplements. Our bodies will not be nourished appropriately based off supplements. We need to have sound, solid nutrition, and that is in our Bibles. Peter's development of denying Jesus 3 times to then being the same one. And matter of fact, let's dive into Peter, because this transformation that the Lord did in him could not have happened through personal development. So many of us are playing ourselves with the things that we decide to do simply because of our impatience and our lack of trust and confidence in the Lord. But I digress. Let's just look at Peter. Before we meet this Peter in Acts 2, Peter was impulsive and he was unstable. Let's go to Matthew 16, verses 16 through 23. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who was in heaven." So here we see one of Peter's foundational good traits, that he had faith and he was spiritually attuned because he correctly identified Jesus as the Messiah. So that showed that there was a level of spiritual insight there. However, if we go to verses 22 through 23, it says, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man.'" So because Peter was not happy with what Jesus was saying when he was talking about his death, he went ahead and took it upon himself to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus had to rebuke him like, "No, you worried about the wrong thing. You're focusing on human plans, but not God's divine timing." Peter had faith. He was spiritual, but he had no patience. And he lost sight of keeping the main thing, which is God's plan and his timing. Sound familiar? So many of us, we have faith. We're building these Christian businesses. We are spiritually in tune to a certain extent, but we are not disciplined enough and matured enough spiritually to be able to stay focused on the Lord. We get sidetracked. When money start looking a little different, we start focusing on things of man. When it seems like people are no longer listening or following and are engaging with whatever it is that we're doing, we start worrying about the things of man. When sales aren't what we want them to be, or we face various challenges in our businesses or whatever that our endeavors are, we start worrying about the things of man and taking our eyes off of the faith that got us here in the first place. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. I need the right person with the right background who can move my business forward. If I wanted a candidate who matched what I'm looking for, I trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on these other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results that you need. Sponsored Jobs boosts your posts for quality candidates so that you can reach the exact people that you want faster. And it makes a big difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs because you reach a bigger pool of quality candidates. I know for me, as we're going into this new year, I need some help, especially on the back end for this podcast. I would want somebody who has a history in digital marketing, someone who is very tech savvy, that is very experienced with different AI tools, specifically as it relates to content, somebody who's done this before. And here's the thing with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. I get people who fit that description. I'm not digging through resumes of people who've only edited one YouTube video 20 years ago. I'm getting actual individuals who know what they're doing, people who've done this before and can prove it. That's what makes the difference. You get people who are actually what you're looking for. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes, less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. So many of us, like Peter, think that we're way more spiritually mature than we actually are. But God knows what we're ready for and what still needs development in order to walk into what he has for us. In John 18:10-11, we also see Peter making some rash decisions. It says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? I know Jesus had to be looking at Peter sometimes. You know how with parents, when you're talking to your kids and you're upset, your teeth get tight. And you're like, if you don't sit down, you ain't trying to yell, but you're talking stern. I just imagine that Jesus was talking to Peter like that sometimes. Because Peter, he was a little unstable. But nevertheless, once again, Peter is jumping the gun. And the Lord had to correct him once again, reminding him that God's will has to be fulfilled. Again, sound familiar? How many of us try to force doors open? We got a word from the Lord and we know that he wants us to start this business. But instead of just waiting for his divine timing to unfold, we go kicking down doors. We go making plans on our own. We go setting up meetings and doing all these things he never told us to do in the first place. We allow our zeal and our enthusiasm to allow us to make rash decisions. Or the opposite. You're in a season where you're waiting to see what all of this suffering is going to amount to. And in your emotions, you start making rash decisions because you're frustrated with God. You're frustrated on where you are. You start making decisions that put you in a deeper hole than he intended you to be in, simply due to a lack of patience in the Lord's timing and will being fulfilled. And of course, Peter's greatest failure was denying Jesus. We ain't even got to read into that. But let's talk about his transformation. Because all of us, as I gave these examples, you can put yourself in Peter's shoes and see the many ways in which over the course of your journey with the Lord, you may have behaved similarly. But just as the Lord did with Peter, we don't have to stay in those spaces of failure. God will restore us, refine us, and empower us the same way he did with him. This is a key aspect in the development of the Peter that we see in Acts 2. This is all part of God's strategic timing, because I don't know if the Peter that we see in Acts 2 would have become that without how he started, without these failures, without these flaws that we see. I believe that him truly internalizing and recognizing how, despite that, the Lord still transformed him and uses him in such a way is part of, if I was to just psychoanalyze him, I think that that's part of what drove him in his loyalty and his commitment that we see from Acts on. So many of us, we get stuck in our own viewpoint or self-esteem based upon our mistakes. And then we get stuck in this rut of, why me, Lord? Why me? And we start going through our head and all the things we've done, all the times we turned our back on the Lord, all the times we denied him. And we just start playing this role in our mind of every mistake that we made, instead of taking a different approach and saying, wow, God, me? Despite all of that, not why me, but wow, me? Despite all of this that I have done, you still chose me? You're still transforming me? You still want to use me? Let me surrender to that transformation process. Let me allow you to mold me, to prune me, to make me whole. And then when you are ready in your time and when you send me out, I will do you justice and I will never turn my back on you. Doesn't that sound better than allowing fear and your own shame about whatever you've done keep you stagnant and block out the Lord from really being able to use you? And I'm not going to go into detail on every way the Lord restored Peter, because we talked about this in a previous episode. But we see the outcome of that restoration and that transformation based upon this leader that emerges in Acts. The Lord delivered him from shame. He delivered him from discouragement. He delivered him from fearful and transformed him to being fearless. He empowered Peter in such a way to do what could never be done in his own strength. And the Lord wants to do the same thing for us. That's the result of what his strategic timing does. Building businesses, brands, ministries, platforms, etc. in the kingdom of God means that you are surrendering yourself to a transformation process, a timing that is 100% outside of your control. And the result of that will be impact, influence, rewards, eternal, as well as in this life, that could never be produced in your own strength. And we have to fix our minds on that as individuals, as we're learning to trust God and His strategic timing. We can't expect for supernatural things to happen and pray about it and fast about it and all of these things. Everybody wants a supernatural breakthrough, a supernatural expansion, and all of these big words about all the grandiose things we want the Lord to do for us. We can't do that and control how that happens at the same time. That makes no sense. It is counterproductive. It is illogical. So I wanted to highlight Pentecost and the details around it so that I'm not just talking to you about what I think or I'm giving you my own stories, but I'm showing you right here in the text how we can encourage ourselves in these seasons, how God's strategic timing unfolds. It's right here in the book. And this ain't even the only instance. Like I said, you could study Esther, you could study Joseph, you could study Moses, you can study Jesus above all and see what the outcome of strategic timing looks like and use that to find peace and comfort in whatever season you find yourself in. Now, before we close, I just wanted to pull a few more takeaways for us as entrepreneurs that we can glean from and learn from here in this text. The first thing I want you to take from this is God's timing ensures maximum impact. Pentecost happened at the right time to maximize the impact of that powerful manifestation of His presence. It wasn't early, it wasn't late. It was right on time at the perfect time that it needed to be for an impact of that magnitude to happen. You know, today I submitted my deposit and I signed my letter of intent for law school. I told you guys that I got accepted and I'll be starting in the fall, but I hadn't fully signed all my paperwork and sent everything in yet. I had some time, so I waited for a second. Now, I finished all of that today. And as I was just sitting and reflecting about this journey up until this point and this journey that I'm getting ready to walk into, so many things just started clicking in my head. Because I remember when God first told me to go to law school, I'm like, Lord, why now? Because like I told y'all before, when I went to get my MBA, I was like, oh, this is perfect timing. I'm not married yet. I think I was just engaged at the time. But I don't have children yet. This is something I always wanted to do. I love business. I want to be a student of business as well. So I went through and completed my MBA program thinking that that was going to be my last school experience. I'm like, at this point, somebody can just give me an honorary doctorate once I'm successful enough. Like, I don't need any more degrees. But years later, the Lord now telling me to go to law school when I have so many more responsibilities, multiple children, multiple businesses, so many things happening, I just didn't understand why now. But even in my lack of understanding of His timing, I just moved forward with the instruction. But as I was reflecting this week, I've been thinking a lot about my business. There have been some goals that I've had in business for years. One of my goals is that I really wanted to put together a coaching program for business owners, but I wanted my program to be at a very high level. I've tested out coaching programs. When I first became an entrepreneur, I did coaching for a while. Of course, with Anchor Media, that's a form of coaching with the podcaster. I had a business coaching program. A couple of years ago, I did a beta program that you guys might remember, the She is Uncompromising program. I've done events that are around that brand. But my vision and what the Lord has shown me about the brand is at a level that is way higher than I've been able to put together just yet. And I've tried to push the timing in my own frustration, if I'm being honest. I've paid for coaching programs for myself to help make these dreams happen faster and gotten frustrated because I feel like I wasted money because I was outside of the timing of the Lord. And I did waste money being outside of the timing of the Lord. And I had to repent, turn back and get with His program. But as I was reflecting this week, I had this aha moment where it all started to make sense. I have such big goals and a big vision for my She Is Uncompromising brand with women, to where I really want to help them build brands and businesses that maximizes their income, that maximizes their impact, and that does not sacrifice their family, their faith, themselves, or their home life. And as I was just sitting and thinking about that, the Lord started connecting the dots for me. And how in 3 years, when I'm done with this law program, I'll be 13 years in as an entrepreneur. I will, of course, I already have my master's in business. I'm a successful entrepreneur myself, but I'll be able to add the legal aspect on it. So I can teach and coach at this high level that I'm looking to do with so much more credibility, with so many more credentials, and so many more ways that I can serve. I can teach you how to have harmony in your life and secure your legacy. And I can also help you from a legal aspect secure your legacy. I can help you to build a business that is rooted in biblical principles and also legally help you form that business and protect that business. I can help you build a brand that is thought leadership and not content creation, and help you to get the intellectual property for your thought leadership. So this high level program that I've always envisioned but haven't quite been able to reach, the Lord just made it all make sense. And I was just like, man, God, I'm so glad that I recognize the errors of my ways when I try to move ahead of your timing, because how could I maybe hurt my credibility at that point by moving too fast? What consequences would I have faced in reputation and standing with the Lord in so many different ways by trying to lead prematurely in that area? It was just so good to me to think about. And reading this text just really solidified that for me of how strategic the Lord is. I was even looking at the story recently of Chick-fil-A. So S. Truett Cathy, who is the founder of Chick-fil-A, started the business in 1946, but it wasn't until 1967, over 20 years later, that the first Chick-fil-A restaurant opened. 20 years. During that time, he remained faithful in honoring the Sabbath. We all know Chick-fil-A is not open on Sundays, never has been, hopefully never will be. For those who struggle with comparison, listen to this. The business didn't expand as quickly as other fast food chains, but God still honored his faithfulness. Today, Chick-fil-A generates more revenue per store than McDonald's, Starbucks, and Subway, despite being closed one day a week. Let's just let that sit for a second. Despite being closed one day a week, they generate more revenue per store than McDonald's, Starbucks, and Subway. That is the Lord, because that does not make sense naturally. Another thing I want you to take from this text is that the right people will be in place when it's time. The Lord gathered and made sure everybody who needed to be at Pentecost was there. As we said, the apostles didn't have to go out and gather people. The Lord took care of that. He took care of that from Leviticus when we read the scripture then. It was already prearranged for the gathering of the gospel to take off the way that it did. All they had to do was go through their own transformation process and then wait for the Holy Spirit. That's it. And that's all we have to do. Surrender to his process and whatever that entails for us as individuals, and wait on the direction of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit, because that automatically happens once we're saved. But we do have to wait on the Holy Spirit's timing, and we have to wait for his instruction. But whenever the timing is, the people will already be in place. Those of you who are starting podcasts and building platforms, do y'all hear me? Those that God has called to thought leadership, whatever you create, the right people will be in place. The Lord will take care of it. For those who are launching businesses and you're afraid who's going to buy, who wants this, why would my product or service be what they choose? The Lord will make sure that the right people are in place. He will make your name great. He will guide you in what you need to do for your customers. He will gather the people for you. I remember when I changed the show over to Blessed and Bossed Up from what it was previously, and my biggest fear was, God, who is going to listen to this? Who is going to listen to just me on a microphone? My insecurities wouldn't allow me to even fathom that people would want to listen to me speak solo. I was like, God, who wants to hear? Like, I didn't understand why or if there was going to be an audience for it, but I was obedient nonetheless. And as soon as I switched the show over, within that month, the listenership doubled. The people were already there. Every time that I have introduced a product or service, it has been successful because the people are already there. The Lord has already taken care of that part. I just play my part. People are always amazed when I work with them. Like, I'm always trying to figure out, like, you're not super salesy and I don't see you always on live and selling stuff and pushing stuff, but your business is still growing. I don't get it. It's the Lord. Yes, I'm great at what I do. I have credibility and a track record and all of that in what I do. However, the success of anything is the Lord. The people that he sent me is always him. I could tell that not in just income, but in the quality of the individuals. I've built some lifelong relationships from people that I've worked with, people that have blessed me way more than I feel like I could ever contribute to them by them being in my life because the Lord sent them. And lastly and quickly, I want you to remember that sudden breakthroughs are often years in the making. A 10-day fast, a 30-day fast, a one-day fast. I know we do all this fasting and praying for breakthroughs. Sometimes breakthroughs are years in the making. Jesus prepared 30 years for a 3-year ministry. The time between Jesus first calling his disciples and Pentecost that we discovered here was 3 to 3.5 years. Sometimes it just takes time. And we have to be okay with whatever that looks like. So I think this is a good place to end. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I pray that this blessed you. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.